You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Holly Randall Unfiltered, the show that strips down the misconceptions about the adult industry and gets you a glimpse at the process and the people behind it. So today, my guest is a performer from New Zealand who has been in the industry for just over a year, but the statistics of her career are going to blow your mind. But I'm going to let her tell them to you herself. So let's welcome Haley Davies. How are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Of course. So I, you know, want to start off with this crazy statistic. Mm-hmm. I don't want to tease it before and then just like leave people to wonder, what is she talking about? So I'm going to let you tell me. So you, judging by the statistics, mm-hmm. you're a very hardworking girl. Mm-hmm. How many collabs did you do when you first moved here?
In 6 months, 300.
That's insane. Yeah. So that's more than one scene a day.
So it's an average of two mm-hmm. a day. And it was a lot of days, like most days I was doing three, but I was going between Miami and LA a lot. So there would be days where obviously, because I was doing everything myself. Now I have some help with editing and stuff, but mm-hmm. I was doing everything myself. So I would need some days to edit and just do social media. Well, I never took days off, but I would need days to edit and mm-hmm. like focus on that. So not every single day was a collab. So that's where I guess the average of two a day came in, because some was three. I some days did five, which was hectic. And yeah, some days might have been like one, but yeah.
So on the days that you did five, so are you working with like five different performers? Are you doing like five different scenes with the same person?
So the 5 days, because generally my regular thing was I would try to do three a day. Mm-hmm. And that would be different people, whether it was like a boy-girl and then like a boy-girl-girl, which is technically two people, and then like a boy-girl or something like that. Mm-hmm. That I would say is three collabs. And if I was doing five, it wouldn't be completely new people. It would be like a girl-girl and then a boy-girl-girl with the same girl. Mm-hmm. So we would do like our social media and our like outfit for that. And then it's kind of like a whole nother thing. Mm-hmm. And then it might be like another boy-girl and then another girl-girl and boy-girl-girl. So that would be when the five would come in. I would never do like five separate people.
Yeah.
Because that's just too many changing of locations, because I was always the one going to people. So if it was at mine, I could do five in one day. But when you're traveling around LA like that, the traffic and it's a lot. So
I mean, why did you do so many in 6 months? Were you like in a place where you're like, I need to stock up on content because I want to take a break? Or were you just excited to be shooting?
So because I technically only really started properly collaborating with people 2 months before coming to America. Mm-hmm. And I started my OnlyFans in December, so about 14 months ago. Mm-hmm. But at the start, it was just, you know, it was like just doing a few videos with the guy I was seeing, or like my best friend, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. I did do pretty well at the start, but then when I got opened up to the whole world of like collaborating with people, that was when I was like, oh wow. And cross promotion and stuff like that helps mm-hmm. significantly. And then I came to America, and I would say that's when I like properly like started like making a real income off it and didn't do anything else. Because in Australia, I still danced mm-hmm. and I didn't feel like I could rely on that amount of, like the money was good, but you learn to live within your means. Like I'm good with my money, but you learn to live an expensive like lifestyle, I guess, when you're making good. So even I was making not that much, like maybe $3,000 a week off it back mm-hmm. then, which to a lot of people is, I guess, good money, but I would be dancing and making an extra $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 a week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So it was definitely something that I was like, no, I'm not. But now, like, yeah, I'm making, like, great money. And
now you're making a lot more.
Yeah. And I am actually doing a feature dance this weekend, which will be my first time dancing in America. But that's just for fun, honestly. It's really not about the money. Like, I just want to – I miss dancing so much. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that sounds like that's where you came from. So let's talk about how you got into, like, porn and OnlyFans. Sounds like stripping was the – was the beginning of that.
Yeah. So I did start dancing 5 years ago, and it was like a side hustle. I worked in IT. So I would work full time in IT, and I would be paranoid about, like, people from work coming in. And it was like this big secret. And if I told anyone, I'd be like, you better not tell anyone. Like, I was really worried about it. And then I started personal training as well. So I was doing that, and I always kind of just stripped as a side hustle, but realistically I was making way more money than all the other things, like, combined.
Yeah.
So then I was always, like, worried about what people thought of me, like, you know, career wise, because I did always do really well in school, so I was like, I've got to have a good career. But then I was like, you know what, like, why am I making myself miserable working these jobs when, like, really I just want to, like, earn good money, travel the world. And yeah, I was always, like, worried to be a, like, career stripper. But then you realize, like, it doesn't matter.
Who are you living your life for?
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I actually, like, reflected, and I was like, my biggest values are, like, freedom and like, the biggest things I want in life are, like, freedom and travel. And, like, that's what dancing's giving me, because I can make great money and have freedom, and then I can just work for 2 weeks, travel for a month, work for, yeah, do whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, just come and go, like, do as you please.
So. Yeah. But for a while, it sounds like you were struggling, and you felt like you had to be chained to these jobs that you didn't like, but they were, like, respectful jobs.
Yeah.
That didn't pay as much as the job that you did like.
Yeah.
But you were worried about, like, what people were going to think.
Yeah. About. And I do have, like, not a super conservative or religious family, but they do expect highly. And my family is full of, like, lawyers, scientists. Like, everyone has really, really good jobs. So.
Wow. So how do they feel about what you're doing now?
They actually – so – I'm not close with a lot of them, so I've kind of told my mom that she could tell them. A couple of them have, like, reached out and basically said that they would, like, they support me because they know that otherwise, like, they just won't have contact with me.
Yeah.
Like, if you have anything bad to say, I'm just not going to listen to it, basically, because that has happened in the past. So, but then the rest, I haven't heard from a lot of them. So, that's, yeah. But it's like my, yeah, like, I don't know if they actually don't support it or if, like, I never had a lot of contact with them anyway. And, like, I'm not in the country. So I don't know if it's to say that if they were in America, they wouldn't be like, oh, hey, like, we're here, like, we'd love to see you. Like, I don't actually know, because it's not weird for me to not talk to them for 6 months anyway. So, yeah, it's really hard to say if they're like, oh, God, no.
But it sounds like you and your mom have a good relationship.
Me and my mom, we didn't. And then we finally got to, like, a really good place about a couple of months before I moved overseas. And she's, like, really supportive, like, super supportive, like, beyond what you could expect. Like, she'll hear me out if I need to talk about things. Sometimes she's like TMI, but
yeah,
she's great. Like, and she'll give me ideas for shoots. Like, if we're together and she'll see something cool at the shop, she'll be like, oh, you should do, like, something in that. So she's like, yeah, like, really lucky to have that.
That's great.
Mm-hmm.
That's really great. Yeah. And then what moved you into, like, the OnlyFans world?
So honestly, I was, like I said, I was working in IT, I was dancing, and I had another friend who, I felt like I could relate to in a sense that, like, she held herself highly and, like, that kind of thing. She was really intelligent. So she was working in IT and dancing, and she decided to do OnlyFans. So I was like, you know what, if she can do it, I can do it. And I was always of the mindset, like, if you're going to do it and put yourself out there, like, you have to work hard. But I've always been, like, an extremely hard worker. Like, the amount that I work now it has progressively gotten worse, but it started at like a very young age, me like working a lot. So I knew that I like had the drive, and yeah, I just like, I blew up kind of like on TikTok pretty quickly. TikTok I find is like dying now, but mm-hmm. yeah. And I was like, if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it right. So
yeah. I mean, because yeah. despite what a lot of people may think, like when you're a self-funded creator and you're not, you know, shooting just for studios and you're like mm-hmm. doing, creating and publishing all your own content, like it's a huge hustle. It's a lot of work. I mean, you're basically, you're in you're your own small business.
You are.
Like, porn is full of mm-hmm. like entrepreneurs.
I know. But people just do not realize that. Like,
yeah.
there was a comment on one of my Instagram reels, like, and it was so funny. And this guy's like, you have too much spare time on your hand. And I'm just like, this is my work. Like, me creating reels is my work.
Yeah.
Like, this is like, they can be so oblivious to everything we're doing, like, is work. Like,
yeah.
me vlogging, like, you know, it's actually kind of annoying to be in Colombia traveling and having to vlog everything. Like, I can't just enjoy myself. So mm-hmm. it's like, it's all work, and people just, yeah, don't realize that.
Yeah. Do you have a hard time separating like work from personal life?
Yeah, which is something I have to like work on, because in Colombia was my first time traveling with people, but also my first time, aside from America, my first time traveling whilst being an OnlyFans creator. So mm-hmm. I've traveled to 38 countries, but they were all just before I did this. So I was really enjoying myself. And this is the first time, yeah, with people and as a creator. And oh my God, I was just vlogging, working the whole time. And they were just like to me, like, you just don't stop. Like, you don't relax. It was same when I was in Aspen with some other creators, and they were like, wow, like, you never stop. And I'm like, yeah. So it's something I need to...
It's hard, right? Because it's kind of like...
Because everything's content.
Everything's content. That's the weird thing about being like an influencer and like a, you know, like a creator, is that everything you do can be mm-hmm. something that you can use to drive traffic towards your site.
Literally.
So it's really hard to just enjoy yourself, because in your mind, you're like, oh, this would be great content.
Right.
For like, I get it.
Like, and I try to go above and beyond as well with the amount that I'm like sharing, the amount that I'm like sending to my fans and things like that. Cause I am trying to like blow up really fast and like, you mm-hmm. know, so be very successful. So yeah, I just go to like extremes really. But yeah. then what I'm realizing is, you know, there's only so much content you want in this one location, this one outfit. And I'm just like trying to be like, okay, have a plan, get it done, and then like relax.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, speaking of all these collabs that you did, I mean, how did your body handle that?
So as far as like my physical body, the only thing was, yeah, like my pussy was getting so painful that I would be taking, in the mornings before my shoots, I would take like 2 Tylenol, 2 Advil. And then during the day, I would be like popping them in between shoots. And it's just about like, yeah, just like mentally just being like, okay, I can get through this.
You didn't think like maybe I should give my body a break?
I would try like to take like a couple of days, and it would recover a tiny bit, but I'm just like, I could not make myself take more than that off, because I was blowing up, and I'm so like,
all these opportunities were presenting.
Yeah, I'm so like data driven, number driven, and I was just like doing so great and like being congratulated by so many people. So I was just like, I just want to see how far I can go. And like,
come on, girl, you can get through this.
I mean, now I definitely don't do that extreme. I try to do 2 shoots max a day now, because mm-hmm. after that, it's just 2, yeah.
Oh, only 2?
I don't
God,
think.
God, you got lazy.
It's funny because people, like, sometimes, like, they'll be like, oh, I have a shoot that day. And I'm like, oh, like, can't you do 2?
I'm like, people, and?
Yeah. But, yeah, so now, but then now it's almost backfire, because if I don't shoot and then I go, like if I take, say in Colombia, like a few days off, even though it's off of sex, it was still working, but then I'll come back and I'll shoot and then I'm like really sore. So it's almost like I need to be having sex that many times a day. Once I got past the pain, and then it's fine.
It's almost like callousing your knuckles.
It is. And now when I have like even a few days off of sex, I just get sore. So it's like, oh,
wow.
Yeah, I don't know. It's tricky.
Wow. I mean, do you also like consider the people that you're working with? Because, you know, if you are working with a bunch of guys with like massive dick, I mean, I know girls that have certain guys on their no list simply because of the size of their penis. Or you just like, you'll take whatever.
Oh.
Like, do you enjoy a challenge?
No. I definitely was a lot tighter when I got here. Like, even Manuel Ferrara took me 30 minutes to like get it in. And he's not even he's thick, but he's not considered like a crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? But now like I can take him. So then I'm like, oh, am I getting loose? But I always said I could never do dread, but now I am doing dread in a few days. So that will be interesting. But no, I don't really like, cause I'm not like a size queen. Like I don't like taking big dick because it's just big. It's just, yeah. And even if I take a big dick, like a Damien Daisky or whatever, like I'm never taking the whole length.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
So, I mean, on that topic, because I do get a lot of guys asking about this, like, what do you have an ideal penis size?
Yeah, like 7 inches.
Okay.
Like the boyfriend dick.
Is that the boyfriend penis for you?
Yeah.
That's still like an inch and a half above average, but.
Yeah. So kind of just like. And like a little girth is nice mm-hmm. as well.
Okay.
Yeah. But I wouldn't want to date like a guy
huge
with
dick.
Yeah. Like an Alex Jones or a Jason Love. I feel like it would be hard. You'd probably get used to it. I work with Alex Jones a lot and mm-hmm. I've not quite got used to it yet. Yeah.
So you did 300 in 6 months. I'm assuming mm-hmm. you're not working at that feverish pace right now. Like,
no.
What slowed you down? Just like you felt like you got enough content, or did you just realize like what you were doing was insane and not sustainable?
It was actually, so I would say I'm still working the same amount of hours in a week. I'm just changing it from now that I feel like I've worked with all the people and mm-hmm. I've got so much content that I feel like I want to have more of a social media focus. And the other thing I noticed was that my Instagram, even though it did grow really, really, really fast, it was full of content with other people because I was collabing all day, every day, and I didn't have time or energy to make stuff myself. Like mm-hmm. when I'd get home at the end of the day, even if I stayed up for 3 hours, technically I could have made content by myself, but I don't have the energy to be on camera. Like, so I would just be in bed editing or like something else. I did not have any energy to do anything on top of the collabs. So then I realized, considering like how much I'm doing and how much my following grew, I felt like my OnlyFans numbers, they were doing great, but they weren't reflecting like how much I had been blowing up, I would say. And it's because all my content was just with other people, and the fans, they like that, but they want to see you. So like my feed, there was like mostly photos with other people, and my Instagram, and then I would tell because the like count on the content of just me is like way higher. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I really need to like set aside more time to just do social media stuff of me, or even like OnlyFans videos of me mm-hmm. live streaming more, because I wasn't live streaming and I needed to be going live like multiple times a week and things like that. So that became more of a focus. So it wasn't, I wouldn't say I'm working less. I would just say I'm doing less collabs because, yeah, as well as like the STD risk as well. Like the more you do, the more it gets in the way.
Yeah, so, you open yourself up too.
Yeah, that kind of started to give me,
And this is alongside, I just want to, for the people who are watching who may not know or have seen other episodes of mine, we do tests mm-hmm. on a regular basis. Every 2 weeks is the mm-hmm. minimum.
Yeah.
So, you know, when she said, there's still a chance, obviously, of STDs happening, but people do test all the time.
Yeah, and the testing's pretty good.
I just want the world to know that you're not just like banging around a bunch of random people that aren't tested.
Very legit testing.
Yeah. So when did you decide to move to LA and like what prompted that?
I would say I had Kieran Lee reach out.
Oh, Kieran. It's always fucking Kieran, man. That guy is like prowling the social media.
Yeah, he's like, good. I also had
every girl's like, so I heard from this guy, Kieran.
Yeah, and I had like some other really big, like Johnny Sins had followed me, and then Maximo Garcia had followed me, I think. Oh, no. Yes. And Chris Diamond. So I was like, oh, like, how am I getting into this American market? I don't know. They were following me. So I was like, oh. I had always honestly wanted to come and live in America. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And I didn't feel tied to Australia. In fact, my life was pretty good there, but I was not that happy. Like, it's cool because now in LA, I feel like for the first time in so long, I just feel like I belong. I'm happy.
Mm. Yeah. So you were living in Australia, though. You're from New Zealand, right?
I'm from New Zealand, but I was living in Australia.
Okay. Yeah. And so what was the biggest thing that surprised you when you moved to the U.S.?
Cost of living. How chill the crime is as well. Like
how chill the crime is?
Like, just how, like... I shouldn't really say
like how cool it. People are about like
just,
when
they, yeah just how like casual it is that like, someone's just being like sure or something like it's just oh, so normal okay. Like or like oh
okay yeah yeah
God.
so the crime rate's really normalized.
Yeah,
when you said that initially I thought you were saying that like there wasn't a lot of crime here and there was a lot of crime in Australia.
Oh
like,
no, the complete really? Opposite. Yeah, just oh, there's a few things I can't even think of, but there's definitely been things that I'm like, wow, that's not like that back home.
I mean, we've become very desensitized to it, which is not good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a sign of something happening too often.
Yeah, I agree. But funnily enough, I'm not really like scared of it because I don't know. I don't have a fear of death. I've never really had a fear of death.
Really?
People find it weird. I don't have a fear of death at all. I just have a fear of becoming like a vegetable, you know, like I have a fear of something else going wrong.
Yeah,
like if I was gonna have a motorbike accident because I ride bikes and lose a leg, I would rather die.
Huh?
Because otherwise I'm just like, what life am I gonna live? I don't know. I know that's like an opinion.
Yeah,
and that probably sounds ungrateful, but anyway, yeah, I don't know.
So what I mean, what do you think happens when we die?
I just think you die. I don't believe in like the second life.
You don't believe in heaven or hell or reincarnation. No, so you're not afraid to lose the one chance at living that you have?
I am excited to see what life could bring, but I feel because of my like beliefs, I just feel like when you die, you die. Like you, I won't know I'm dead because I'm dead.
That's true.
Of course, it sucks for the people around me that care.
Mm-hmm.
But. Like, it's not like I'm trying to die. But,
yeah.
But yeah, that's just my opinion. And it's funny because my dad is the complete opposite. He believes in, like, hell, heaven, second lives, all that. He brings it up because he's Buddhist. He brings it up all the time.
Really?
Yeah. And then my mom, I think my mom's like me.
Yeah.
Same with my sister, I think. Yeah.
Well, because, see, I ask you these questions. It's funny how many times we've talked about death on this podcast. It's like a favorite topic of mine because I have like a huge fear of death. I will say like I kind of don't really know, but I do believe that like nothing, I think like you just die.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I definitely don't believe in like heaven and hell.
Mm.
I don't believe in reincarnation.
Yeah.
But rather than, you know, not being afraid of it because like, oh, I wouldn't know, like,
yeah,
I'm terrified of it because like the idea of non-existence
okay. Is
terrifying to me. Like, how can I not be here on this planet? Like, how can I just not be here?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, how can the world go on without me?
Oh, I love that.
No, but I mean, not in that like egotistical sense, but just, I don't know. Like, life is so precious and such an amazing thing to experience. I'm like, it's like such a great gift. I'm like, I don't want it taken from me.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, like, the idea of it being taken from me, like, terrifies me. So I just, like, get into this whole – this shit will keep me up at night. Like, I'll, like, lay in my bed and be like, what is non-existence?
What? That's wild.
But it just, like, doesn't scare you. Do you just, like, not think about it?
No, I never think about it. And I always think, like, as well, like, the things I do to my body that, like, aren't going to be good later. Like, for example, like, sunbeds, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like – whatever, like, I'm enjoying my life now. Like, yeah. I might die. I might, like, I don't know.
Are you somebody who doesn't, like, really dwell on stuff? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I would say I dwell on things.
Oh,
like,
okay.
I'll dwell on, for example, like, when I got my IT job and, like, they asked me what salary I wanted and I thought I was aiming high and they were just like, yep. Like, it took me so long to get over, like, I was like, damn, I could have asked for more. And, it, like, I do not get past that. Like, I'm just like.
So you'll stay up all night thinking about how you didn't pitch a high enough salary. Yeah. But you, death doesn't bother you.
Yeah. Literally, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, hey, we're all different. Not everyone's a fucking psycho like me.
You're just like, what is non-existent?
It's bad. Today's episode of Holly Randall Unfiltered is brought to you by Bathmate. Now, penis pumps may sound funny, but they're actually an incredible tool to help you attain harder erections, erections when you want them, and more intense orgasms. And in some cases, they might even help you last longer. Bathmate is the world's best-selling penis pump for a reason. With over 1 million satisfied men, Bathmate harnesses the power of water through a hydraulic vacuum, acting as a secondary pump to your heart to draw blood safely into the penis. This is the world's only FDA-regulated hydro pump, which means it's used in water. Thus the name, as Bathmate can be a part of your daily wash routine in the privacy of a bath or shower. You simply fill Bathmate with warm water, slide your penis in and activate the pump, leave Bathmate on for about 3 minutes, then release the valve. It's really that simple. And Bathmate is so confident in the benefits of their product that they offer a 60-day 100% money-back guarantee, starting from the day the product lands on your doorstep. Try it out. If you're not satisfied, they'll send you a full refund. You literally have nothing to lose, and only size and stamina when you want it. Now, if you're still not convinced, let me sweeten the deal. Right now, my listeners get 10% off of their first order when you go to bathmatedirect.com/Holly. That's Bathmate, B-A-T-H-M-A-T-E, direct.com/Holly to get 10% off of your first order. The link is also in our episode description. We all know Adam and Eve is the one-stop shop for everything sexy. And now, with my code Holly, you can get any one item for 50% off, plus 10 free gifts. And you'll even get free shipping. So spice up your sex life at adamandeve.com, but only if you use code Holly. Okay, so tell us a little bit about your upbringing.
So I grew up in New Zealand. Mm-hmm. In like a small town. So it was very, like, people lost their virginities young and, like, did a lot of drugs. I was lucky. I never really got into drugs because I had good education in high school around drugs, thankfully, which really stuck with me. Like,
really?
Yeah, it's funny.
We had the DARE program here, but the statistics show that it did, like, the opposite. Like, more kids did drugs when they introduced the DARE program.
I remember learning about how, like, meth causes, like, the bugs under your skin. And, like,
bugs under your skin, yeah, or
like,
bumps?
Bugs. Like, they would call it bugs under your skin. And I think it was, like, the scabs that you would get. And when you're on meth, you think that there's bugs under your skin. And you would be, like, going like this.
Yeah.
And, like, digging at it. Because you would think. And I also learned that, like, if you do it once, you're fine. And as soon as you do it the second time, you're, like, just addicted. So I don't know. I never did it once, but
I don't think that's true.
People tell me that. I'm like, no.
But see, I would never. I'm glad that it stopped you from.
Yeah,
doing it.
Yeah. So. I never thought, and I never really did like many other things. I smoked weed a little bit when I was young, as like a, I guess it's like an escape because I did have like a bit of a like rough upbringing with my parents. So I would like go out and I don't know. Whatever, but yeah, people would just like lose their virginity young, like do drugs and whatever. But I was pretty good. I did really well in school. I competed in like maths competitions. It was always like my strong subject.
Mathletics,
we would call
it. You said math, like math, like mathletics. I was like, wait a minute, I thought you
the accent
said
probably. Yeah. Okay, no, mathletics. I love math.
You love math, huh?
Mm-hmm. And
I mean, yeah, 300 collaborations in 6 months. You do love math.
Yeah, I love putting, you know, multiples in, I don't know, multiplying. No, no kids, but yeah. And what else? But then I did leave school young because I moved out of home at 14.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I did like kind of get taken away from my parents, and then I would live alone and work. And I had to be enrolled in school, but I wasn't.
You got taken away from your parents, like by like
the a police, social system? Yeah.
Oh. Oh, so you did have a rough upbringing.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. You know, it gave me a lot of independence. Like, I'm so independent, which is nice. And like,
it's good that experience like led you that way rather than down like, a road of like drugs and
100%.
Self, you know, harm.
It definitely made me strong in that sense. Yeah, like I was depressed for like a long time, and like I had like a lot of stuff to deal with. But then I dealt with someone really close to me, like ending their life and stuff. So that definitely, that was hard. But then that put like a whole new mindset on me.
Yeah, it made you appreciate.
Yeah, because you realize like what it does to people.
The people around you.
So, yeah, that was, yeah, I shouldn't say a positive, but yeah, that was.
It was a silver lining.
Yeah, a silver lining. And yeah, and I think then I moved to Australia. I kind of put a lot of like the family stuff behind me, and I don't know, I feel like I like fresh starts. I would like move to Australia, and I feel like I got like another fresh start coming to America and stuff like that. So
what's the difference? So for those of us who aren't like terribly familiar with the culture, like I know that there is, you know, jokes about the difference between like people from New Zealand and people from Australia. Like what is like, what are the difference? Like, what are the differences between the two countries, and what is that kind of like cultural, maybe back and forth that maybe someone from America wouldn't know about? Oh. You know, like how like we talk about like how Canadians are like way too nice,
right?
You know what I mean?
New Zealanders are nicer than Australians for sure. Yeah, Australians can be more blunt. Kind of like American versus Canadian, I would say. I feel like they're pretty similar.
Okay.
So
there isn't like a rivalry really between the two countries?
In a joking way, but honestly, really, like they're like sister countries. Mm-hmm. So like Australians will try and be like, think they're so much better than New Zealand.
Yeah.
And it will be funny because they'll try to be like, oh, like you guys don't even have like PayWave or something stupid. But it's like there's a lot of things that New Zealand had before Australia, or like that New Zealand does a lot better or something like that. So it's really not like that. But New Zealand is like a tiny country. Like you can drive the whole North Island in like 10 hours.
Wow.
But in America, like you can't even fly across the country in that time, basically. Like,
yeah,
to fly from one side of the country to the other is like an hour and a half, like the whole country.
That's crazy. That's like how long it takes to get to Vegas from here.
Tiny.
That's wild.
And then Australia is a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have family from Australia, but like the only things that I kind of really know about Australia is, well, Australia and New Zealand is Flight of the Conchords from New Zealand, which I love that show. And
the Lord of the Rings thing is.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't really watch that. And and Bluey.
Bluey. What's that?
It's a cartoon that my daughter loves. It's like a toddler's cartoon from Australia, and it is the best. Like any parent, if there's a parent watching this, they know what I'm talking about when they talk about Bluey is like the fucking best.
Yeah.
Like it is a cartoon that you as an adult will watch and you love. We love, like I want my daughter to watch Bluey.
Aww.
You know, when she's like, when I let her watch TV, she'll be like, I want to watch Paw Patrol. I'm like, no Paw Patrol. I'm like, Bluey. Let's watch Bluey. I fucking love Bluey. Like the other day, my husband pulled up an episode. He's like, you got to watch this episode of Bluey. Like it's such a good show.
My God.
Yeah, it's an Australian show.
Okay.
And it's about these, like, it's like Queensland healers. And they're like cartoon dogs.
Okay.
Like it's just like, it's just a rad show.
That's cute.
It's a rad show. Each one's like only 5 minutes.
Okay.
You should check it out.
Yeah, I will.
It's really good.
Thanks for the recommendation.
You're welcome. Your friends would be like, why are you watching Bluey? Holly Randall recommended it to me. Oh, dear. So it sounds like independence has been like a core facet of your personality for most of your life. Do you find that like isolating or empowering?
I'd say both. As far as like being independent and working at the young age that started this work addiction, which has slowly just gotten like worse and worse and worse to the point where I would like, because I've always had like broken sleeps. Like I don't sleep in one go. I wake up every usually like 3 hours and it would be to the point where I would just wake up after like my first little sleep for 3 hours, and then I would just be like, I can't wait to work. And I'd get up, and I'd sleep for 3 hours, get up, work the whole day. But then I started getting recurring strep throat, so like my body was just like, no. So like this, like that's annoying. And then I have this thing where I feel guilty if I'm not working. So if I want to go out to like a friend's something, I'll just feel guilty that I'm like not working or something like that. So that's not good, because that like independence turned into that. Because I guess it's, yeah, it just started so young. But aside from that, it's great because I don't need anyone. You know, like people always say, oh, like you're so beautiful. Like, why do you not have a rich man that just pays for everything? And I'm like, I don't want that. Like, imagine having like a rich man that pays for my stuff, and then he leaves me, and I've got nothing. So
I've never been liked with
that
rich
idea.
Man,
I don't understand it. Like, you can live this life, but like, I would be so bored, like not working.
Yeah,
sure, it would be nice to not work quite as much, but like, I could not just like sit at home twiddling my thumbs.
But it sounds like you don't have to work as much, and yet you do.
Yeah, and I don't know why. Like, everyone's like, what are you doing? And the thing is, like, I can, like, the money will never be affected when I don't work, because I have all this content backlogged. So even if I didn't work for a day or 2 days or 3 days, like, it doesn't affect me, because I have all these videos and ready to go for OnlyFans. And then I have all this social media content. But I just am just like addicted to doing more. And I'm just like, okay, let me start Twitch. Let me start YouTube. Let me start.
Do you feel like it's hard for you to like sit with yourself and be quiet?
Yeah. Because like I noticed in Colombia, I tried to get like a massage, because I'm like, oh, that'll be nice. Like I'll relax. And the whole time I'm just like making like a to-do list. And I'm like, oh, shit, I got to do this. And I can't relax, because then it stresses me out that I can't grab my phone.
And write it down. Desk.
So, yeah. So then I'm just repeating it in my head, like, you know, the 6 things that I've thought of, I'm just repeating. And then more will come to mind. And I'm like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Like, just repeating. Because I'm like, I can't forget it. Can't go on my phone. Because the lady will be like, what are you doing?
I honestly, I ask you these questions because I can absolutely relate. I'm very
surprised. Yeah.
To the point where I almost like got a whiteboard in my shower, because I would think about things that I needed to do in the shower.
Right.
So I was like, well, if I have a whiteboard, then I'll just write it on.
I'm going to do that. That's gold.
No.
Oh my God.
You know what you could do? And maybe this could be like a double, like a double win for you, right? This could also be a piece of OnlyFans content. So you can buy these phone cases that are waterproof that stick to the wall of your shower. Right. And so like it's so funny because they advertise them as meant to like, oh, you can watch TV while you're in the shower. We know that that's not what people use it for. But oh, you could put it in there. You could be shooting a sexy. And then when you think of something, you could just say it into your phone. And then you go back to a sexy, like, you know, showering routine. And then I don't know, maybe you cut out the to-do list when you edit it, and well, that's your separate thing.
That the organization,
or maybe you
hot.
Include it and it's like organizational.
Yeah.
Maybe you can start like an organizational fetish.
They like it. It's like pure sexuals, you know? They like people that are like smart. And
you should just do like a really hot shoot of you, like surrounded by spreadsheets. And you're just
Post-it notes. Just
like post-it notes, and you're post-it just notes, on your phone.
Oh,
you're
my
like,
God.
So organized.
I like that. I like that idea. You'll see my Instagram soon with that.
And I'll know that I gave you that idea.
Yeah, credit Holly Randall.
So, I mean, do you think that, I mean, look, you're young, right? So you can do this now.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
So I don't think it's like a bad thing, but do you think about, okay, in the future, I'm going to like slow down on this. I'm going to figure out how to.
Yeah.
Or maybe do you think that it'll come like automatically? You'll just kind of
trying to set up a 10-year retirement plan.
Okay.
Work for 10 years and retire at 35.
What the fuck are you going to do when you retire?
I know. That's the thing. So when I say retire, my plan
is... You mean switch jobs.
That's why I've started YouTube. So my plan is to, I would say, retire from porn. Mm-hmm. From the sex work, but I would still be an influencer or mm-hmm. whatever I would be doing. So mm-hmm. I would be doing YouTube, and I would probably just like travel vlog is I think what I would do. Unless in the next 10 years I discover, you know, new hobbies or whatever, because mm-hmm. it's 10 years.
Like, yeah, you never know.
Never know, but I would say like it would probably be like travel vlogging or something. Mm-hmm. And then I know that it's hard to like find brand deals as a porn star, but I don't know what it would be like in 10 years. Like I would probably still have some like deals maybe going on, and that would become my life. But I think like porn wise 10 years or something.
Do you want to have a family at all?
I don't think so. Like I used to mm-hmm. and I always thought I'm gonna be a young cool mom. Like when I was younger, I thought I would have kids by now. But now I'm like, oh god, like if anything, at least 10 years. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I don't know. If I do, I want a surrogate because mm-hmm. I don't like the idea of carrying a child. Like, I want it to be my child, though. I do like the idea of, like, having someone and, like, creating a baby together. Mm-hmm. I think that's really nice. But carrying it, like, the morning sickness, the body, and then pushing the baby out, that would be, like, dread times
So I will say I hear you on that, but pregnancy is different for everyone. Yeah. I've never had morning sickness. I actually felt great. I felt better than I have in my entire life. Wow. When I was pregnant. It was really weird. The hormones did something to me, and I was like, I was in a fucking great mood. I loved everybody. I was like, I also became... I came a little bit even more obsessive, though, with my mind. Like, I became obsessed with 8x10 film photography when I was pregnant. And I went and bought a camera, which I do use now, but not to the extent that I thought I would when I was pregnant. Yeah. But I would, like, lay in bed and, like, think about, like, f-stops and, like, fucking, oh, my God. What's the word? Bellow length, like, versus, like, depth of it's kind of crazy shit. And then the delivery was actually very easy for me.
Yeah.
It was really quick. Which is like, weird because I was old. I was 41 when I had my daughter.
Wow, yeah.
So.
I feel like I might change my mind. Like, I feel like I'm becoming more open to it. I used to be like, hard no.
Yeah.
And then because I love kids. Yeah. But I just don't like.
It's hard to imagine because when I was your age, like, I couldn't imagine becoming a mom either. And I definitely didn't want to be one until
I
was older.
And I don't have
a
partner. So I feel like when you have a partner and you have that person you love, it would be different.
And then you find somebody you're like, I could
raise a person. Yeah, right. But I'm not
and
even
that's,
in
like,
that
so
situation.
Important to find the right person. Because my husband's amazing. He's such a good father. But I wouldn't be able to do it without him.
Exactly, yeah.
You know? But I was just asking that question really because I think about – because you remind me a lot of myself when I was younger and I was like so obsessive with with work. And the only thing that changed that was becoming a mom. That completely changed my perspective.
Right. Yeah. About to say, if you're saying that, I was like, tell me what stopped you. No.
No, it was actually like giving birth to the hardest job I've ever had in my life.
Yeah.
But that was the only thing that stopped me. Like, otherwise,
that's
I
feel. I'm like, I don't know what will stop me.
Yeah.
Like, even I was like, oh, I'll go to Colombia for a few days. Just worked just as much.
Yeah.
Still nice. I want to start doing more traveling and vlogging and stuff like that. Like I said, like, trying to do less sex and more, like, social media.
Have you ever tried, like, yoga, meditation, anything like that?
I have tried breath work when I lived in Australia. I just started that, and I love that so much. And meditation, I cannot get to a point where I stop thinking because you're meant to be able to like think about nothing. Like, I just find that all I do is just think more because I'm not doing something. I don't know. And never really.
So they call it a practice for a reason. It's going to take you a while to get there.
I've been told that. Yeah.
But I would also recommend, have you ever done a sound bath?
No.
So sound baths are a great introduction to meditation because the sound and like the vibrations really kind of put your mind into like a weird tranquil state. Mm-hmm. That's really soothing. Mm-hmm. So and this will actually sound insane to you, but I swear to God, if you give it a shot and like give it like 30 minutes, I feel like you could get into it. Have you ever done a sensory deprivation tank?
No.
You should try that.
What's that?
So it's basically they put you in this tank and it's like a big tank. It's like tall, you know, you can stand in it. No light, no sound. And the water is body temperature. So like after you've been laying it for a while, you don't even feel the water. So it's like
I've done the float pods.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Different. No, I think it's the same thing. Oh, but they also call them
lying back.
Yeah, you're laying in the water.
Okay.
And then you just kind of float, and then you don't feel anything. And then
I did do that.
And then your brain goes into like a weird
salt in it, right?
Because yes, that's what makes you feel. Yes. It.
Yeah.
How was that for you?
Again, I just felt like I just kind of stopped thinking about stuff. But I should do.
How long were you in there for?
45, I think. Mm,
yeah, I did an hour.
It was meant to be an hour, and after 45, I just can't. Like, I'm just what's the point?
Yeah.
Yeah. But, okay, I think that I did try that. I should try it again, though. There's one near where I live, so.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you know, if you can't relax, just think of the to-do list that you'll have in your head when you get out of it.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I know. I need to get, like, I just called my breathwork coach yesterday, the one that I had in Australia, and I was like, I need you. Like, I'm going to do, like, Zoom stuff and try and, like, create balance. I'm actually moving to Miami.
Oh, so okay.
That, everyone's like, that's not going to help. I'm like, that, I want it to help me chill. And they're like, you're still going to do content. But the idea is that I'll come back to LA for, like, I don't know, a week or 10 days each month. But again, it'll just be more social media content. But it will stop me from doing so many, like, collabs. Because here, I have no boundaries. So even if I have two or three booked in a day and someone, like, wants to work and I tell them, like, 6 to 8 weeks, I tell them my dates, they're like, what? And then I just, like, okay, I'll fit you in. And then I'll end up working till like really, really late one night, like 2 a.m. and I have to be up at 6 a.m. again the next morning. So I had like no boundaries. So I need to just like stop that. Because being in LA, it's just like, it's just getting progressively worse.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you have a lot to work on.
Yeah.
So what is your dating life like?
I would say my dating life has always been, like, tragic. Like, just, like, guys cheating. Like, I was just being, like, assholes. Like, always, I'd say, like, I've caught a few guys out. And I've just never really had someone that I was like, oh, wow, like, this is nice. But right now, I've, like, kind of been seeing this guy that I met at, like, a sex party.
That's a good place.
I know. It's a good funny place because I went for the experience, right? I went with my friend and her partner, and we were all just like, oh, like, we're not going to have sex. Like, that's crazy. Like, and then I remember looking at the list, and I, because people were posting photos in the house because they want to see who's going, and I saw him, and I was like, oh my God. And then I walk in the door, and he was hosting, and I was just like, oh my God. Like, just like my type to a T.
What is your type?
Just like dark featured, like tall, athletic. I don't like buff. I like skinny, kind of like
A runner's body, maybe.
Dark hair, like brown hair, short back and sides, you know, like clean, either like clean shaven if they suit it, or like just a little bit of hair but not like a beard. Like brown eyes. Yeah, I look at like teeth and nose is like a big feature I look at, like tan skin. And then just outside of looks is just like ambitious, like hardworking, good with their money, like has investments, that kind of thing. Smart, funny. Yeah, that's my type.
So this guy was your type to a T when you walked into the sex party.
Yeah.
That he was hosting.
And he was hosting. So he was like hosting until like 11. And then And then I talked to him. I was like so shy. I was like trying to go up to him and then I would like freak out. And then so my friends end up having to just be like, hey, like this is Haley. And then like we talked and then like, you know. And then so we did end up like having sex and then we like kept seeing each other. So like that is like, I don't know, just for like a couple of months, I'll see him like every now and again.
Mm-hmm. But did you just recently joined the Mile High Club, right?
Mm-hmm. Kind of. Like I did something that I've never done. Like,
which crazy. Was?
So because we were in Colombia and then we came back and like he suggested going to the bathrooms and I was like, no, you can't get away with that. But I was like sitting
next to him. Those bathrooms are so small. Like how
Yeah, I don't know how anyone and like people are standing right outside.
They really are. Like you're never you don't have any privacy in there at all.
No. But so we were sitting on the seat and it was full plane and there was even someone next to us and I was just like rubbing him and then I put my jacket over and I like pulled his dick out and I was just like started jerking his dick and then he was like going like this like and I was like no. And then he's like, and I'm like, oh my God, you're crazy. So then, because the jacket was there, and he was like looking around, and he was like, no one's looking. And I'm like,
what about the person sitting next to you?
Who is asleep. But they were like going in and out of sleep. So I was like,
this is insane. Can you imagine waking up from like a very uncomfortable airplane sleep to like the person next to you getting a fucking blowjob?
So yeah, so then I put my head under the jacket and I'm like giving him a blowjob and I'm like, oh my God. He like put a jersey like between, because our seats were there, he put like a jersey between to block from the people behind seeing me going like, and like I was just like, this is insane. Like I was like so nervous.
Wow.
Because I'm kind of like a goody two-shoes in that sense. Like, I don't want to get caught doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-mm. Like, what happens if you get caught doing that?
You would get – definitely, I would believe you get trespassed off that airline. And depending on what they want to do, like
– they have pretty strict rules on airlines. Uh-huh. Like, they're very
– yeah. I mean, that's, like, bad, bad. I remember once I was I painted my nails on an airplane and – got told off.
I did that too when I was like 12. I didn't know that that was like a bad thing. I didn't think of it either.
Is that you? And I'm like, yeah. And she's like, you can't paint your nails on a plane, like the fumes. And I was like, that kind of makes sense. Like, what was I thinking?
I was like 12 at the time. And I was like excited. And I was like, we were on a long flight, I think, to South Africa. And I was like, yeah, I'll just paint my nails. And I just remember these guys like across the aisle were just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And I was like, what? And then I saw like some joke like or some meme
space.
Months ago about, you know, like you're the kind of person who paints their nails on a plane.
I'm
like,
oh my God. I mean, I did that like last year. So that's I just really needed to put that nail hardener on. Like it's just a clear thing and I'm just like, just slap it on. But no.
Well, yeah, that's a no-no. Blowjobs on the plane. I don't know. I feel like that's okay.
Have you done it?
No.
I never thought I would do it.
No. The worst I did was that. I think I gave someone a hand job on the beach, like under a blanket.
Wow.
And it was pretty deserted. So that was like, that's as crazy as I've gotten.
Yeah.
Do you have any like public sex stories besides that one that are, or even like any other wild sex stories?
I think another wild one was me and this guy were getting, he was getting a massage every day. And from this girl, and I mean, like, I guess the way that we're like seeing each other is like pretty chill and open. And I was like, are you getting happy endings? And he's like, no. And then I went in one day to get a massage as well, and she was like, oh, like, that's your girl, like, she's so hot, like, but she's speaking in Spanish and I don't understand, he's translating. And then he's like, oh, she said she wants to make you squirt. And I'm like, oh, it's funny. And anyway, we went back to the massage lady one night together and we were just like in the same room, like thinking that we're just like kind of like wind her up, and she was being funny. And then like she ends up like, they're like touching my pussy together, she ends up like fingering me, she brings out like a vibrator.
What?
Like,
she was prepared.
Yeah. And then so I was like, okay, his turn. So then he goes for his massage. We're like winding him up, and like his dick is like, he's on his stomach and his dick is like pointing out down the bottom. And she's just like massaging and we're just like winding him up, like teasing him. And then I was just like, told her to like eat his ass and shit. And like, I didn't think she would, but yeah, it was pretty wild. So that was wild, like as far as like happy endings ish go, or, like, I don't know, something I just thought would never happen.
That's a wild couple's massage story.
And apparently they call it the black kiss, like eating a guy's ass. The black kiss.
Jesus Christ. I mean, not the brown kiss?
Oh, maybe it was.
Maybe like, it was. What were you eating? Okay, to call it the black kiss?
Sorry, I think it's the brown kiss.
Something like with a lot of charcoal in.
What am I on about? The brown kiss.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my God.
Yum.
I love rimming though. I do love rimming.
Do you? Mm. Some girls are like really not into it.
Oh, I love it. Me and Alexis Fox double rimmed Max Phil's yesterday in a scene.
That was what about rimming do you love?
It's just like nasty, I think. I'm not a crazy freak, for sure. I would say I'm pretty, like, vanilla. Well, yeah, I think so. But I love rimming. I've always liked that. It has to be clean, though.
Well, yeah.
Oh, my God. Once? Oh, I was on a live show with this guy. And I'd worked with him a lot. I'd even rimmed him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, he's always clean. Mm-hmm. Super hygienic. And we're on live. And he knew rimming was on the menu because I made the tip menu. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let's do rimming.
It was literally on the menu.
And I go to rim him and on live, and I can just see like, the shit. And I was like, fuck. I was like, we're on freaking live. And I was just like, kind of like pretending. And it's going around. And I was like, looking into it, and I just see the little pieces. And
oh no.
And I got off and I was like, I need some water. So I got off to try and like get away from the way the cameras were facing. And I was like, clean your ass. Like, and he didn't get it. And I was like, oh fuck. So yeah. He didn't understand what I was saying.
You're like, you need to clean your ass. And he's like, you want to eat my ass?
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah. And I was
you have to clean it. Yeah, you want to eat my ass?
Yeah, like, I was like, oh, of all times, it had to be on freaking live. Like, wow.
Jesus. So wait, was it like stuck in his hairs or did like
it was shave? Literally just, I could see, like it was clean shaven. I could just see the bits of poo. The little like chunks, like orangey brownie, like kind of just. And I was like, I don't know how that happens, but yeah.
Oh, God.
I don't know if he was like turtle heading, like he really needed to go and someone's going, I don't know. But,
so
yeah.
Wait, was it still in his butthole?
It was like, it definitely wasn't smudged out, but it was like the way that the ass like kind of opens up and you see more than maybe like, I don't know what it was, but it was there and I've never seen anything like it. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. God. Oh, God. And I love how you still, like, tried to, like, pretend. Like, you didn't just, like, look and then yeah. You're just like,
well, oh, the thing never is, mind. It's like, because I like eating ass, when stuff like that happens, like, it's like, okay, I can eat around it. It's like with girls that, like,
I can eat around it. It's like when I get olives in my salad and I'm just like, I don't like olives. I'll eat around them.
It's like the girls that like the straight girls that work with girls and like if the girl's pussy is like a little bit creamy or something like they'll be like ugh. Whereas like I love girls so I'm like okay like give me that cream you know like that kind of thing so it was like okay I like hitting ass like I know what asses do so like I was not gonna lick it right up but I just been around.
Oh, God. All right. You had an ex who told a wild lie to sleep around. What was it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. My ex literally pretended he... I need to stop the laughing when I'm answering that. My ex pretended he had cancer. Yeah. You're in a laughing mood now. But really, like...
No, everything is... Now everything is funny.
It's insane, but it's obviously like really like heartless and fucked up because people are dealing, you know, like he pretended he had cancer so they he could have another girlfriend and sleep with like multiple other girls. So like he was at my birthday.
Wait a minute. How? Okay. Sorry.
He was at my birthday. He told me he had bone cancer and I obviously like believed him and he had like shaved his hair off or whatever. And I was just like, okay. And he was at my birthday and he tries to say that he feels sick and that he needs to go home. When I ended up discovering what happened, it was actually that he was going to see his other girlfriend, who she had no idea of the cancer. They had been together longer, and she was actually the main one, the one that had met the family and all that. And then when I really started to click on, I was sus about it because I was like, oh, like, do you want me to come along to appointments? Like, this kind of thing. And I really confirmed that it was a lie when he, because you can't accuse someone of lying about that, really. It's kind of hard. So when he then said, I've got skin cancer, then I was like, oh, fuck. It doesn't just change.
And yeah.
No, I never said I had bone cancer. And I was like, you literally said you did.
And bone cancer is like apparently the most painful cancer that you can have.
Yeah. And he said he had like it was in his back and he had a bad back and whatever. Like, I remember it. And I'm like, skin cancer.
You remember him telling you that because it's like a very pivotal moment.
Right. And it was funny because I was outside tanning and I was like, do you want to sunbathe with me? And he was like, oh, I can't take my shirt off because of my skin cancer. And I was like, huh? Like, bizarre. When I got sus was when he used to send me like videos of whatever he was just doing during the day. Like, there was this thing, kind of like Snapchatting or whatever, but he would just send me things. And I was at work one night and he was like not sending videos. So I was like, hmm. So I asked him what he's up to and he's like, oh yeah, I'm with my friend, whatever his name was. And he was like, if you don't believe me, like, there was obviously a bit more conversation between it. But if you don't believe me, like, you can go through my phone. And this was on the phone, so I was, like, not going to tell him, oh, yeah, I want to go through it with your phone because then I'm giving him an opportunity to, like,
delete stuff.
Yeah. So then he comes over the next day, and I'm like, actually, I want to go through your phone. And he's like, oh, no, you don't want to do that. Like, don't you trust me? Like, all that stuff. And I was like, yeah, I want to go through your phone. So then I get his phone eventually after all this back and forth, him trying to manipulate me. And he's like, okay, just one condition, like, don't open any unread messages and don't go on my camera roll. So first thing, camera roll.
What else would you be looking at?
Yeah, right. So, and then I see, like, the photos of him that night before when I was like, what are you, like, doing with another girl. And then I see a message come through. So I, like, open it and it's like, I love you, babe. And then I reply and I'm like, who are you? And she's like, what? Because I'm replying from his phone. And then she starts calling. So then I answer the call, run inside and lock him out. And I'm on a call with her for like 3 hours. Like, we're just like piecing everything together. And the craziest thing is something so similar has happened to me before. Like, where a guy has just like completely like two-timed. And then all of a sudden I've like caught them out. And I've like been on the phone to the girl for hours. And like, you just piece it together. And you're like, wow. Like, I dropped him off at your house and shit like that. Like, it's wild. Wow. So yeah, he did that. And then... the other day a couple weeks ago or something, he messaged me on TikTok because we had this viral TikTok, and he was like, oh, now that you're like rich and baller or whatever, like, do you think you could give me some money from, like, now that you're making so much money since, like, that TikTok helped you.
Is it for his cancer treatments?
Exactly. Like,
the stuff is medical insurance.
Yeah. And the funniest thing is he used to, like, he told me that he was, like, owned all these houses and stuff. And he was making himself sound rich, like, a building company and everything. And I was, like, snooping. Like, I looked up his address and I got someone who was in real estate to look up his address and see who owned it. And his parents owned it. He didn't own the places. And then I looked up another place, like, another woman owned it. And I'm like, so many lies. And so my response to that was just like, aren't you rich enough yourself? That's all I said. And he's like, no, like, not as rich as you. I'm like, I'm not even rich. Like, I don't know what you're on about.
Wow.
This is crazy. But the audacity to ask, I'm like, are you joking? He wants a payout from a viral TikTok. because he thinks it's what kickstarted my career.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Girl, it just sounds like so many men have just shit all over you. Sorry. I'm sorry, I couldn't help it.
I love that.
Couldn't help it.
This is the best thing ever. Yeah, but literally.
Oh my God.
Yeah, no, I've heard like so many things like that. So since then, like, I don't even know. I can't even imagine being in a relationship, like, to like trust someone and imagine like what they're doing. And oh God.
Yeah, that's crazy. I have to say, like, I'm lucky. I have my husband's awesome and I trust him 100%.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I remember dating and, you know, we've all had like,
yeah,
you know, I had the boyfriend who lied to me about everything.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
we've all been there.
It helps because you learn to like things like that. Like when your gut tells you, like I used to always doubt my gut, and now I like trust my gut.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, that's the hardest lesson to learn, and something I still struggle with 100%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard.
But. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much, Haley, for coming on. Thank that was such a pleasure. So fun to get sit down and talk to you. And you know, I wish you all the luck in managing your work-life balance.
Thank
and just
you.
Know I'm right there along with you in the struggle.
I just need to have a child if I want to stop.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, easy fix.
Such an easy fix. Definitely saying that doesn't impact you for the rest of your life.
That's a whole other full-time job in itself.
Literally. Yeah. Try balancing both of those.
Yeah.
That's really fun. Yeah. Can you tell everyone where they can find you on social media?
My social media is pretty much the same across everything. It's Haley Davies, like ITSHAYLEYDAVIES. That's how you spell it. Yeah.
And so it's that on Instagram.
Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, not YouTube, but those other things will link you. OF. Yeah.
All the important
all
stuff.
All the important things.
Which gotcha.
Then link out to the rest.
Yeah. And I'm Holly Randall on Instagram and on Twitter. HollyRandall78 on TikTok. And if you want to watch these interviews streamed live and get access to so many other perks and bonus content, go to my Patreon, patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening. Your support means the world to me. A great way to show your love is to rate and review my show, and an easy way to do that is to go to ratethispodcast.com/HRU, and you'll be directed to the various podcast apps your device supports, and then led to where you can leave your review. And if you can afford to financially support this podcast, you can do so for as little as $5 a month at patreon.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. This is where you'll get access to the live streams of my interviews, bonus Q&As with my guests, access to my fine art photography and behind the scenes of my shoots, free memberships to my not safe for work website, hollyrandall.com, merchandise such as stickers, mugs, and hoodies, and so much more. You can watch the video versions of these podcasts at my YouTube channel, youtube.com/HollyRandallUnfiltered. Join us every Sunday evening for episode premieres where you can chat live with myself and other HRU fans as we watch the newest release together. You can also follow the show on Facebook, Snapchat, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter. All of my social media links are at hollylinks.com.